Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. Here at The Dream Factory, we can discuss as many film ideas as we like, sent by you, the listener, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where this week, the leading star of said movie will take up a recently vacated position on the board of the Academy and exclusively vote for films like Gigli and Battlefield Earth in the Best Picture category. I'm Joel, a man who puts the more in Morbius. Give me more, John. I want more. And across from me is John Harris, a man who, despite being French, until very recently thought that Milli Vanilli was actually a regional variation of mille feuilles. Didn't you, John? Isn't that right? You thought it was, yeah. You know, you'd never been to certain parts of France and you thought that Milli Vanilli was just a pastry that you couldn't get where you're from.
I like the idea that Milli Vanilli is like, what are those ice lollies you have for kids?
Mini milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The vanilla one is Milli Vanilli. I'm going to use that.
Did you like a Mini Milk as a kid, or did you feel like you'd been shortchanged whenever you got one?
I have no frame of reference to remember that kind of stuff, Joel, but I mean, it wasn't a rocket lolly, was it?
It wasn't a rocket lolly. It wasn't a Fab. It wasn't a Solero Shots. It wasn't any of those things. I feel like a Mini Milk, we're talking about the 90s here, an age where the sugar didn't really matter. And I think the Mini Milk was often viewed by parents as the healthy choice.
Yeah, I think it still is. I think it is still seen as like a compromise.
But, so you're saying I should have one for breakfast? You should get your Mini Milk out of the freezer, roll it in some oats.
I was thinking of dipping it in my porridge, yeah.
Yeah, perfect health snack. Good stuff.
We're not here to talk about Mini Milks in porridge.
No, we're here to talk about films. I was wondering, John, because this week's very exciting. We've got some new listeners to the show, thanks to a shout out by the wonderful Beck Hill. And I was wondering, as I was reading and writing the intro this morning, I thought, does the intro to this podcast actually describe what it is?
What do you mean? Yeah, it does. The rules are simple.
User generated. What does that mean?
I don't know. Cool.
Yeah, but you haven't said it 200 times like I have.
It's provocative. It sounds cool. It's edgy.
Yeah.
That's our niche. We're user generated.
We don't call them listeners. We don't call them friends. We call them users.
Ah, yeah. And another user has submitted that. I love it. We should double down.
Hey, basically, guys, you send us your film ideas and we don't really talk about them. But please keep sending them in.
Please. Shall I go first?
Yes, please.
On the subject of the shout out. So this was on a podcast, A Problem Squared, and that is with Beck Hill and YouTuber, comedian and mathematician Matt Parker. And she described the show and he immediately, out of nowhere, pulled out The Fast and the Spurious.
Yeah, which I didn't like because it sort of proved how easy this is. And in my experience, maths, very difficult. Very, very difficult. What worried me, John, is if we were to have some sort of Freaky Friday body swap comedy situation, he would be totally comfortable in my chair right now and I would crumble. In seconds, I would crumble if I had to host a podcast loosely related to maths and science. And there's no chance.
Well, the good news, Freaky Friday isn't real.
That is good news.
Spurious. Talk to me about the word spurious. How do you feel about it? Have you used it?
I haven't. Do I use spurious? No, I don't. Spurious, it feels a little bit, something a little bit like tabloidy about spurious, isn't there? Don't you think? Spurious claims.
Yeah, that's the context I think you hear it as claims.
It's a word no one says, but you see written down in gossip articles, I would say. I don't know.
So it basically means like a falsity, or like there's some sort of mistruth to what you're seeing potentially.
Yeah.
What in the world of drag racing and Vin Diesel is not true? I think it's all true, isn't it? He punches a submarine. Well, that's all true.
They're documentaries, so it is difficult to find anything spurious in there.
What about? So we're going back to early days Fast and Furious, right?
Yeah. I've seen maybe the first two.
Drag racing, simple, not in space, yep. Not, you know, punching submarines. And they're just drag racing, and Vin Diesel keeps finishing in last place but claiming that he's the fastest driver. Because nice. His speedometer's broken. So he's like, I like it. You're in last place. And he's like,
no, I was driving 400 miles an hour.
And all of a sudden, he's at like the big end of season race in his Reliant Robin. And he's out of his depth. I had this conversation yesterday, John.
Go on.
If you were given the opportunity of one lap around Silverstone, would you pick to do it in a Ferrari or a Reliant Robin?
Well, I'm less likely to die in the Reliant Robin, aren't I? Actually, no, equally dangerous.
I think the Reliant Robin. I think I can imagine what it feels like to drive a Ferrari because it's four wheels, and I've been in cars that are relatively quick. You know, shout out to my Peugeot 106. But a Reliant Robin, the experience of the three wheel car, that's not one I would pass up. If any of our listeners own a three wheel car and they're willing to let me drive it around, I will travel to wherever you are in the world.
What an offer. And what do they get in return? An audience with Joel?
Yeah, we sure get to hang out. I'll buy them dinner. I'll drive them to dinner in the three-wheel car.
Right, so the end of the movie, Vin Diesel is at Silverstone. He's competing at the Formula One somehow. He's back of the grid, obviously. And this is a nice family film, so it's not fatal, but there is a big collision at the beginning of the race that means everyone else is eliminated and he wins.
No, here's what happens. He's in a three-wheel car, so his pit stops are quicker.
and he makes up
enough time to finish on the podium.
Why haven't Red Bull thought of this?
Well, I think we're in a break in the Formula One season at the moment. There isn't a race today, recording on Sunday, but next week there is. So they've got a week. They've got a week to put out. Lewis Hamilton will turn up next week in a three-wheeled Formula One car and change it. It will be like when they invented the Fosbury flop in high jump. It is going to revolutionise motorsport. We've just done it. Hey, how about this one from Lizzie? To all the boys I've loved before, spelt boys like a life boy at sea.
Lovely.
Now, for what reason would you love a boy? Maybe it saved your life.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know how people fall in love and marry inanimate objects?
Yeah.
You're drowning at sea, you cling on to a boy, it saves your life, and you bring it ashore and you marry it, and you have a long, happy relationship with the boy until one day you come home and the boy's in bed with, I don't know, a big salmon from the supermarket. And you break up and you've got to readjust to life without the boy that saved your life.
Have you seen To All the Boys I Loved Before?
No, I don't know what the hell it is. Is it not similar to what I just described?
Yeah. There is some fish-based adultery, you'll be pleased to hear.
Yeah.
I've seen it, and I believe the protagonist, she writes a bunch of letters to all the boys she's loved, but not a mutual love. Like as a sort of...
Unrequited.
Unrequited loves, as a sort of process of sort of coming to terms with you know... teenage life, etc.
And then my name is Earl Style. I get it.
And then for some plot contrivance, the letters arrive at these lovers, and so that's where
how does that happen? She slips and posts them in a postbox.
No,
she's walking with the letters, and she slips over on a banana skin, and she just throws them all into a postbox.
I think the mum sees them and decides and thinks, oh, these must be intended to send. I don't know. And so they get to it. And then she gets into a relationship with one of the guys because he doesn't want to be in a relationship with... Oh, God. I've lost it. Right. There's letters involved, though. Can we send posts to inanimate objects in the sea?
You'd have to laminate them.
Oh, yeah.
But otherwise, I don't see a problem with it. Or message in a bottle.
Oh, that's cute.
She puts the messages in a bottle and throws them at sea as a way of getting rid of them, but somehow they all find themselves at the original boys at sea.
Ah, oh, that's really cute. What about this one from Randy? The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian. We on board?
The car?
Exactly.
Wow.
Here's the fundamentals of the plot as I see it. This is from Randy. After finishing fourth in the 100-meter finals of the 1984 Summer Olympics, Ron Brown gets in touch with his scientist cousin to see if he can help improve his training. Now, I don't know whether Randy has gone, like, if there is someone called Ron Brown who was fourth place at the 1984 Olympics, or this is just detail that Randy's bringing out of, you know.
Either way. Amazing. Huge respect to Randy for this level of detail. Randy, worth noting that people normally just send us sort of two or three words.
No, this is... Hey, we asked for this. We asked for big emails. So I am all over this, Randy.
Absolutely.
Through a year of hard work and exposure to Libyan-sourced plutonium, Ron's running speeds improve significantly. Now, just to check, Libyans are like the bad guys in one of the...
The Libyans! Yeah.
Fine. So this there is context to Back to the Future.
Yeah, he hasn't plucked the Libyans out of thin air. Unless Randy's got an agenda. Randy might have an agenda.
was there a period? Or is Back to the Future the only film that uses Libyans as the bad guys? Or was there an era where they were like the Russians? Or
de facto,
something?
Yeah. The Libyans were maybe in the 80s. It was always the Libyans.
When the Libyans learn that Doc is using the plutonium to help US Olympic athlete in the direct opposition to their boycott of the 1984 games. Ah, there's the context. They supply an unstable isotope, plutonium. Bloody... Joe, none of our ideas have ever said an unstable isotope of plutonium.
No,
this is ridiculous.
Can confirm. This is amazing.
We need Matt Parker to be hosting this episode. Which, when administered to Ron, makes him run at 88 miles per hour, thus sending him back to 1955, where he's to avoid boffing his mother and get back to 1984 without fading into nothingness, or a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And I think we have to go, surely, otherwise it's not The Mandalorian if there's no Star Wars reference.
That's true. Yeah. So he has to... I don't understand how that would work, John. Please help me out. I was fully on board until the 1955 and he had to find a way to... Because that, if you're following the plot of Back to the Future, he would have to find a way to run at 88 miles an hour using 1955 technology.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he would run down a really steep hill.
Well, he's got the plutonium that makes him run at 88 miles... Oh, does he have to like take some or do something before he runs?
Yeah, it's a one...
One and done. He's not innately suddenly super fast.
No. So he has to harness the speed. But then there is a Star Wars reference in Back to the Future.
Yeah?
Because when he goes to George McFly, his dad, in 1955, he says that he's Darth Vader when he's trying to freak him out to get him to do something. And he plays Van Halen really loudly into his ears and he says he's Darth Vader. And he's got some sort of weird helmet on. So it's all there.
So I just did a bit of Googling and Usain Bolt at his fastest ran 27.33 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean,
so this guy's running 60 miles fast.
We haven't really considered the effect it would have on the legs.
Or the Olympics.
Of course.
At that time, they weren't breaking 10 seconds, were they, in the 100 meters? This guy is now going to do it in like 2 seconds.
You would have to start filming the 100 meter finals in the way they film The Matrix. There would have to be sort of like 700 cameras positioned along, because otherwise you wouldn't catch the guy. Yeah, so he's in 1955 and he has to use 55 technology to be able to run at 88 miles an hour again. Okay.
On a side note, just looking at the title, The Mandalorian would look great in a DeLorean.
He would.
I think I could see him rocking up. I'm not sure the wheels would handle the sounds of Tatooine too well. But generally, the aesthetic sort of vibes, that sort of grey...
Yeah, it kind of looks a bit like a Land Cruiser.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Well, in Back to the Future 2, John, they don't need roads. Think about that.
I've heard rumours. Time travel hasn't been engaged a lot in the Star Wars universe, as far as I know. I'm sure someone might tweet being like, actually, in Legends 4, the book, you know... This character does it, but generally I don't think time travel is something that Star Wars has contended with. So that would, you know, it's messy.
Well, do you think they'd like to go back and remake the most recent prequels or
sequels?
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
We could go back and remake everyone that isn't the first three. Or Mandalorian has to go back in time and stop Anakin and Padme doing the deed. No, that's good. That's bad. I'm not sure the ramifications of them
having sex. Because they have Luke.
Yeah, but if they didn't have sex, would they then not... He wouldn't become Darth Vader. Because she dies during childbirth, right?
Yes.
Here we go. God, we're getting too deep into this.
John, how do you feel about the fact that Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, when they come out just before
kickoff... I already can tell you I have no feelings on this, but go on.
No, yeah, I can tell you right now, you're going to love this. So... Generally, football teams come out to a song, right? You know, a song plays in the stadium to amp everyone up. And clubs have sort of long historic associations with a lot of their songs. My team, Charlton Athletic, play the Red Red Robin. It's a nickname that goes back. When the Red Red Robin goes bob, bob, bob in a long,
Exactly.
It's like a ye olde song.
Fill the opposition with fear.
The crowd are clapping. Yes, it does. Okay. It's a vicious, vicious bird of prey. And... West Ham, Sing I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. You know, these are songs that everyone associates with the clubs. Tottenham Hotspur come out to Jewel of the Fates from The Phantom Menace.
Love it. I think I love it.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. It's like 80, their new stadium's like an 80,000 seater stadium. And there's a huge light show. You know, it's like lights out. And then pyrotechnics, lights, everything. While they're playing Jewel of the Fates. It's like Harry Kane's walking out of the tunnel. It's quite strange.
I thought you were going to say the Imperial March, which is...
No, I'd like, imagine that's more suited to a club like Chelsea or maybe Newcastle now, yeah.
Jewel of the Fates is sort of, it is associated with Darth Maul, so that's your issue there. But it's also sort of just associated with a fight, so you can just say, yeah, we're the two Jedi in that fight rather than Darth Maul. But I do...
But it's more that they're playing a song from The Phantom Menace. It's quite strange, don't you think?
It's the best, it's... Oh.
Is this the closest you've ever come to being interested in football?
Yeah, I was gonna claim that it's the best piece of Star Wars music, but I think that might get me cancelled. So I'm gonna take a
say it.
Look, no matter how bad any of the other Star Wars films, John Williams has always brought his A game to every single Star Wars movie. They all sound great, and Jewel of the Fates. That's what the Kenobi trailer came out recently, and they absolutely played me like a fiddle by dropping Jewel of the Fates halfway through that trailer.
Spurs fans went crazy.
They were like, Harry Kane's in it.
They thought they'd signed some player called Obi-Wan Kenobi. They thought it was like an announcement video.
I've seen some football announcement videos, and they're basically on the budget of
I would say the Obi-Wan Kenobi, they'd be a little disappointed with the effects. And the... Right. How about this from Josh? We'll get the first one out of the way. The Pursuit of Slappiness.
Great. It's a pun. Brilliant.
It's a great pun. It is worth pointing out that John and I, the last episode we put out, talked about the Oscars, having recorded it ahead of the Oscars. And when it came out, we just sound like a couple of idiots. Like, we're just like, I think the Oscars are coming up soon. Oh, the Oscars this weekend. Who cares about the Oscars? And, it's like the biggest non-war or pandemic-related news story the last 3 years. So that's good.
It's also just also worth noting that we're saying this 12 days later, but Josh tweeted us that brilliant pun about 20 minutes Well, not 20 minutes after, but the morning of. So he was on fire. We're now lukewarm at best.
And speaking of Josh being on fire, this might be one of my favourite ideas ever to this podcast. It's the invention of lying down.
I love it.
So good. So the Ricky Gervais film, The Invention of Lying, he lives in a world where everyone tells the truth the whole time. And then one day he realises he can just not do that. And obviously, if you become the first person to ever tell it, like you can say, you know, I'm a million. You can go into your bank and say, I'm a millionaire. And because there's no concepts of lying, they'll just give you £1 million because you can only tell the truth. There is only truth. So I imagine in this, Ricky Gervais discovers that people don't have to stand up all the time. Like there are no sofas, there are no beds, and no one's ever laid down. And maybe people are just exhausted because they have to sleep standing up. And so you would essentially become superpowered, I think, by discovering you could have 8 hours sleep at night lying down. Like, you become a god amongst men, right?
I think so. Ricky Gervais is the only man without enormous bags under his eyes.
Yeah,
the only
person
who's just not
just so
exhausted.
So well rested, so energetic, and so he becomes. I imagine he would become sort of like a guru figure because people would look, you know, want to know his secret to happiness, energy. And the truth is that he just builds a little bed at home and he sleeps.
Is he like Wim Hof? Is he going to teach other people about the...
Do you know what? That internally, that's what I've been trying to decide, John. I can't work out whether he should spread the good word of lying down or keep it to himself.
I would imagine, hands up having not seen The Invention of Lying. I assume the end is sort of he tells everyone and they come to a happy medium, which is
I've not seen it either. I imagine that probably is the case. So yeah, eventually he gets outed, they discover his bed and they don't know what it is.
It's like some CCC footage of him just lying down.
Yeah.
Like, what? How have you done that?
They think the video has been like turned 90 degrees.
Rotate the screen. Rotate the screen.
There you go. Brilliant. And maybe he becomes a billionaire selling pillows at the end. And that's, you know.
Oh, that's the end.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What about this one from Martin via email? As requested, I think he opened the email saying, welcome to 1990s, guys. Gorillas in the Mystic River.
Hey, two films I haven't seen. And two films I know that are quite important and good. Right. Yeah. Mystic River is a classic, he says.
I was looking into it. It came out in 2003 and it's a thriller, and we were with Ethan Hawke and we would have been like 12. So in our defense, you know, that's not thriller time. No. And Gorillas in the Mist is an older, but that's like a classic documentary, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
About Gorillas in the Mist.
Gorillas in the Mist, yeah, yeah.
So I got the plot for Mystic River. After the death of Jimmy's daughter, Katie Sean, a police officer, investigates her murder, which leads them to a crime that took place 25 years ago. I mean,
but they're all gorillas.
Are they all gorillas?
They're all gorillas. It's Planet of the Apes style.
That's an idea. Is in the universe of Planet of the Apes, they should have made other genres of movie. So yeah. Their normal movies is just everyone is gorillas.
Just everyone's gorillas, yeah. They've got gorilla thrillers. They've got horror movies. They've got gorilla slapstick comedy. The slipping on a banana skin, they can relate to. That's just great observational humor in the Planet of the Apes world. Yeah, I think it's just Mystic River, but it's just a cast of gorillas.
Oh, lovely.
You like those old PG Tips ads that were definitely fine.
Well, they're chimpanzees.
Chimpanzee. They used to employ chimpanzees, and now chimpanzees are just unemployed. You have to ask, is that progress?
Chimpanzees are...
They're out of work.
Are you feeling sorry for chimpanzees?
Maybe.
There was, again, animal branding. We're big fans of animal PR on this podcast. And chimp PR in the 90s was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was through the roof.
Everyone wanted a chimp. That was my... You know, as a kid, my dream pet would have been a chimpanzee.
Yeah, I had no idea in the 90s that a chimp could just rip your face off.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Why? That's the new PR, is that chimps rip your face off. That's all you know about chimps anymore.
Has an animal had a bigger downturn in like optics since the 90s than the chimp? Let us know.
Great question.
What animals were beloved that now we're afraid of? And vice versa. Which animals had its reputation turned around? The bee?
The humble bee.
People bloody love bees these days.
Since Bee Movie.
When I was a kid, I don't think people even bothered to differentiate between bees and wasps.
Yeah, now, no, all bad.
All bad. Now, bees. People love bees.
And there's like a thing, I swear, that happened where it was like furry bee, not furry wasp. But now people are like, no, you can get not furry bees and you can get furry wasps and stuff. So you just got to be nice to everything. How dare? Oh, God. How,
It's really, I say this as quite a kind-hearted man, but it is really hard to be nice to a wasp. They're bastards. And they've got, I know you can't really say this about animals, but there is a look in their eye. Don't you think? there's an evil look to a wasp.
Well, that there isn't in a bee. You think they're a bit more rounded and fluffy and friendly looking?
100%, 100%. Yeah. A bee. Like, if there's a bee in the room, it's not an immediate threat. We're just coexisting. But if there's a wasp, it's mano a mano. It's like one of us will survive.
The size of an insect is like frequently dictated by the pitch of the humming of them flying around. And if you walk into a room and like, I don't know, someone's like, there's a wasp in the room. Can you sort it out? And you walk in and it's like, you're like, nope. I'm going to open some windows and hope that it leaves eventually.
Are you, when there is an insect threat, are you the designated person to help get rid of it? And what's your technique? It's pint glass and paper, right?
Yeah. Or, well,
you smash it with a pint glass and then you
take its details.
And then you write a letter to the RSPCA.
Great stuff.
Have you ever phoned the RSPCA?
What? No. Gorillas in the Mystic River.
I phoned them once because there was a seal down by Virgin Cinema in Medway.
What do they do? Like, does a person on the line know how to deal with seal by the cinema?
Yeah, I can't remember what they did. I didn't stick around, but there was just a seal sort of in the mud. There's a river, by the way. It wasn't like outside a cinema trying to get tickets. Yeah, I just found the RSPCA. I was a bit worried about the seal. I'd never seen one around there before. Medway Valley Leisure Park near Diggerland. It's probably the closest a seal has ever been to Diggerland.
What about this one from Scroobius Pip? Deadpool.
What?
Deadpool. A guy called Paul, he's dead.
Oh, right. Sometimes it's hard when you're just saying them.
Yeah, of course.
I imagine Paul, like you would have pulled pork. I couldn't work out what the hell that was. But dead Paul, just a dead guy called Paul. I'm into that.
That's it? Does he fight crime? Is he a corpse?
It's difficult. It's difficult to fight crime when you're dead. Unless he fights dead crime.
He could be a zombie. He could be...
A crime-fighting zombie.
Yeah, because zombies are, you know, they're seen as the antagonist, but maybe this is like a hero zombie. I'm not sure
what are the advantages superhero
benefits of being a zombie are.
Of Detective Inspector Zombie.
Generally, zombies have a numbers game going on. It's not about their strength or ability. It's the fact there's a lot of them.
Yeah. So maybe that's it. Maybe there's a horde of crime-fighting
they're
zombies.
They're
all called Paul.
Love it.
Hey, what about ideas from me and ideas from you? Who should go first?
I could go first. Alfie Moon Knight. British soap legend Alfie Moon discovers he's being possessed by Egyptian god Khonshu.
Hey, give me Alfie Moon's accent any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, based in these sort of East London vibes and sort, you know, relatively interchangeable. What's the actor's name?
Oscar Isaac.
I was thinking of the Alfie Moon actor.
Shane Ritchie.
Yeah, Shane Ritchie, Oscar Isaac, pretty interchangeable, I'd say.
Following on from last week's conversation, which I'm sure we're going to reveal the results of, who's more famous, Homer Simpson or Spider-Man, in the UK, is Shane Ritchie more famous than Oscar Isaac?
Oh, wow. I'm not doing... every week I'm not running a poll on our socials.
In the decade that I've known him, John has never said, oh, wow, to anything I've ever said. But put the question of Shane Ritchie or Oscar Isaac to him. But that's it. That's what he likes. I finally cracked him.
So, yeah. So, we're in the Queen Vic.
Perfect.
Alfie keeps zoning out. And then maybe there's some, like, beef starting. Phil Mitchell's come in. Apologies to anyone based outside of the UK who has no idea what I'm talking about right now. Phil Mitchell's come in. He is absolutely seething. He has turned a shade of purple you've never seen on a man before. And he picks up the pool cue and he starts swinging around. And then it sort of zones out. Mitchell's dead.
Alfie Moon runs into the toilet of the Queen Vic, covers himself in loo roll. And comes out and fights Phil Mitchell. Perfect.
The end.
Hey, Death on the River 8 Mile. There's like a group of hip-hop artists that are down on their luck. So they do one of those reunion tours and they do a date in Egypt. And one of them gets killed. And there's a lot of beef because these are rappers from the East and the West Coast, from the South. but they've had to come together for this tour because they want to make money because, you know, they're 30 years since their best-selling album. So they go on tour together and it's fraught with tension. And then one morning they wake up and, you know, one of the rappers is dead.
Say no more.
Who's the... Who would... The only thing I need answering is who would be the Poirot? Who would be the Poirot? Who's hip-hop's Poirot? Is it Rick Rubin?
It could be... I don't know why I'm... In my head, because he's got a slightly nerdier voice, I was thinking Q-Tip.
Yeah, Q-Tip's good. Q-Tip's good. I was just thinking, who's like universally... Who's going to be objective and not take a side when it comes to East Coast, West Coast? The SoundCloud rappers. You know?
No. I'm not bringing SoundCloud rappers into this. It's classic hip-hop.
Okay, good.
Beastie Boys.
Nice. Yeah.
They don't have a horse in that race, do they?
I don't think so. They're New Yorkers, but you wouldn't really associate them with East Coast hip-hop, I don't think. Anyway, that's what happens. Genuinely, when I thought of that earlier this morning, I thought, I would like to watch that film. And that's always a good sign.
Definitely. Not enough hip-hop films. You've got 8 Mile, you've got Get Rich or Die Trying.
And not enough, John. Parody movies. It's the parody movie has died. Someone should parody these two Kenneth Branagh films.
You would think in the world of streaming and stuff that the parody movie would sort of do all right because it's quite like, I assume they're relatively cheap to make and they're sort of this kind of thing.
Second screen.
They just saw it on their, Netflix. They'd be like, all right, pop that on.
Yeah, pop that on and go on my phone.
Weird.
All right then, John, what was your favourite idea?
It has to be Josh with The Invention of Lying Down. I don't think we did the best job with it, but... You know.
I would also give a special shout out to Randy for his detailed email. And I would encourage anyone listening to send us emails. John, what's the email address?
Dreamfactorypod@gmail.com. And let us know whether Libyans have been the enemies in any other films.
Or in your own personal life. Are we doing an extra bit?
Yeah, we got to talk about Homer and Spider-Man. I've got the results.
Okay, well, stay tuned. Hi, John. Well done today.
Well done to you too, mate.
It's interesting, isn't it, that I'm not... Look, is it a coincidence? We've come back doing film podcasts. Kermit and May have left the BBC. There's a slot open, is what I'm saying. There's a gap in the schedule, and this is what they call in football a come and get me plea. We're interested.
Call our people. No, don't call us.
Do you know what I couldn't deal with, John? Envision the scenario where, I mean, through a ridiculous set of circumstances, we get given, asked to host that show.
Yeah.
I would simply have to delete all forms of social media and could not look at a single email or text that came in because I couldn't handle that level of abuse.
Because we would be aware of how stupid the decision was, but we wouldn't say no.
Of course you wouldn't say no. It's like a once in a lifetime opportunity, but I simply could not handle the public's reaction. There's no way. I'd just live in denial.
Would your first link be just, I know, it's, I agree.
I would never give out the text number or the email address.
Right. Last week on the show, Joel asked the impossible question, which was, two questions. Who's more famous, Homer Simpson or Spider-Man? Mm-hmm. And then who would win in a fight, Homer Simpson or Spider-Man?
Yeah.
So I did it on Twitter on Tuesday, but I actually forgot that you can also do it on Instagram. So I did that this morning, Sunday. So that's currently still running. So the numbers I'm going to provide might not be the final results.
Okay.
But
this is like election night at 3 a.m.
I've got the big map in front of me.
Well, it's looking like it might be a win for Spider-Man, but we haven't got the final count. Okay.
Well, Joel, you take the piss, but I've actually got some extra stats in a minute that are basically like that. Right. Twitter, a resounding victory for Homer Simpson being more famous.
Interesting. I thought it would be a 50-50.
Well, I say resounding victory. 63.2% versus 36.8%.
That's pretty resounding.
Instagram is closer and it goes to Spider-Man. So it's 54 versus 46 to Spider-Man.
Is that because people on Instagram are younger?
Maybe. And then in terms of the question of who's going to win the fight, both times it's basically 57% say Homer Simpson.
What? That's wrong.
Someone was slightly incredulous about the thing and sent me a message that they had googled, has Spider-Man ever died? And it turns out he's died 9 times.
Okay. And Homer, I'm guessing, never has.
Venom symbiote. Terraraxia, whatever that is. Radioactive spider. So is there a version of Spider-Man where he just, it just dies? Kills.
It's just like two pages long.
Peter Parker just gets killed. NYPD? What the fuck is this piece? This, to be fair, I haven't fact-checked this. This is
Mr. Plow.
Google puts up the best, the best response. NYPD, Dr. Octopus, Spider-Woman, Thanos, Kingpin, and once from multiple attackers. What's interesting is Spider-Man has died 9 times. Homer has never died.
He's immortal.
And there are... I think there could be... I've not done this conspiracy theory. I've not checked, but there is a good case to make the idea that Homer is mortal. Firstly, that none of them have ever aged in the 30-so years they're on.
Yeah.
They did that whole episode where he was a boxer, right?
I was just about to say that. And one where he gets a cannonball fired at him.
One gets a cannonball. Again. He falls down a fucking canyon at one point.
Wow.
So maybe people are right to think... Homer would win the fight just out of sheer exhaustion on Spider-Man's behalf.
Yes.
So then I went on to Google Trends because I wanted this to be completely factually accurate. And if you go, if you compare the American sitcom Simpsons versus Spider-Man, the comic book character, it's sort of internationally it is Spider-Man. There's sort of no argument against it. In the last 5 years, there's only a handful of countries where there's been more searches for The Simpsons than Spider-Man, including Ireland, Argentina, and Finland. And then the rest of the sort.
Why? There is Russia. Nothing to link those three countries.
But there are, so for instance, Australia is 49% The Simpsons, 51% Spider-Man. Oh. So I think this is a good, interesting, valid question.
It is.
And also, you've got to remember, looking at the sort of interest over time trend bar, it is unbelievable how much sort of extra weight has been added to the Spider-Man search terms last Christmas, when it was the most important thing in the world for a brief period of time.
Yeah.
So basically, we come with no sort of conclusive
The debate rages on.
Yeah, there we go. I wanted to share with you, Joel, I've seen this a lot on Twitter, and I think people do it for clout, but this genuinely happened to me overnight, and I thought you'd appreciate it. Was when you think you've had an amazing idea in the middle of the night and you write it down and then you look at it in the morning.
Yeah.
So I just, in my Google Docs this morning, there's just the words reverse olives, which is, and I do remember, so you get the filling of an olive and then you fill it with tapenade. So you get an almond and you fill it with tapenade, or a piece of garlic and you fill it with tapenade.
Right.
What do you think? Reverse olives.
Yeah, how do you fill an almond?
That's not for me to work out. I'm the ideas man.
That's the boffins.
So you're saying I shouldn't take that to Dragon's Den?
I would keep it on the back burner. I would do a lot of home experiments in the kitchen first. Love it.
Have you been watching or enjoying anything? Did you watch Moon Knight?
I haven't watched Moon Knight yet, no. I've been a bit nervous by the mixed reaction. And I found it really difficult. I found the Marvel TV series broadly quite difficult to get into on the whole.
Yeah. And if you sort of look at like Twitter excitement, and I basically, my Twitter algorithms are set to Marvel at the minute as it stands. So like I get all of it. And there's definitely a lot less excitement in general about Moon Knight than there has been around. Well, the big ones were Loki and WandaVision, and the bad ones were
Hawkeye.
Well, no, I enjoyed Hawkeye was fine for what it was. Falcon and the Winter Soldier was not
plotting.
Great. Yeah, not great. It's definitely worth a watch. Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. And I watched the second episode of Peacemaker. Still really good.
Yeah,
definitely
need
worth,
to watch
definitely
that.
Worth
Severance. I keep recommending Severance to everyone I see. Severance is brilliant.
I was going to say, it's got like a surrealist vibe to it, right?
Yeah.
Like, Eternal Sunshine vibe.
Yeah, it has. It's really, really good. And also on Apple TV, if you want some proof that Jared Leto isn't just awful in everything, that series We Crashed about WeWork, where he plays the guy who founded WeWork, is actually really good. I've been really enjoying that.
Okay.
Based on the podcast We Crashed, about how he like built the empire, but it's sort of all built on sand and it all goes falling to bits. But he's like the guy who created WeWork, sort of believed in himself as like this messianic figure almost, really. And so Jared Leto is quite suited to playing that role.
Also, I haven't seen it, but I'm excited to watch on Apple TV Plus, Slow Horses, is that what it's called?
Yes. Yeah.
With Gary Oldman.
It feels like Apple TV's sort of really entering the game this year, you know? Because before it was like, oh, yeah, I've got Apple TV. I'm going to watch The Morning Show, obviously. And then you're just, oh, I've used Apple TV now for its program. But now I think they're really releasing some good stuff.
Yeah, so I think it was Pilot TV podcast was saying that the quality of stuff on Apple TV is really high. It's just there isn't stuff.
So eventually, a couple of years in, I guess, you have enough stuff and it's good. There you go. Thanks, everyone.
Cheers, guys. Have a lovely week and be lovely to each other.
See you next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.